Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, and your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio, your internet radio station that goes worldwide. And you can call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. If you have a question, comment, or testimony, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be studying on Thursday's Bible study. The question is, what's next? What do we expect next? What are we gearing up for? And one of the things that we are describing is the rapture, the catching up of the saints. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know that Jesus Christ, according to his word, he's coming back. So that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first time he came as a child, a baby in the manger. This time he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second comment is divided into two phases. Phase number one, or A, is the rapture. Now, you're not going to find that word in the English translation, but you'll find it in the Latin Vulgate, rapimo, is the Greek word harpazo, catching up, caught up, hallelujah, the gathering of the saints. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you look back at history, if you look back at your Bible, we see Enoch and Elijah were ratcheted up. Jesus Christ was ratcheted up at his ascension. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that 144,000 are going to be raptured up. We know that the two witnesses are going to be raptured up. And we know that the bride of Christ, we, the born-again Christians, are going to be raptured up. Glory be to the Lord. And then he has a return. Okay? The difference is this. In the rapture, Jesus does not put his foot on the earth. He meets us in the air. And that's what we're going to study today in part 1A2. In the rapture, Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air, in the clouds. And he promised that he will return. He promised that he will take us to his Father's house. So where he's at, we may be also. The return, which we'll cover after we've covered all the parts of the rapture, is he's coming to Mount Olivet. He's going to put his feet on the earth, and that mountain is going to quake, and it's going to be divided into two. So, you know, for people who say there's no rapture, what are they going to do with the scriptures that talked about Jesus meeting us in the air, not putting his feet on the ground, and then his return where he puts his feet on the ground? So we covered last week part 1A1. The rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven. And we looked at several verses. Glory be to the Lord. This week we're going to look at the rapture. Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air. And we're going to have two verses that we're going to look at. And we're going to expound on them, and we like you to participate. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some people don't believe in the rapture. They say it's something that was made up in the 1800s. Yet, if you look at the patterns and cycles in the Bible, you're going to see the raptures there, even in the Old Testament. Glory be to the Lord. I'll give you an example. When Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments, God came down in the clouds. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the type of the rapture right there, my brothers and sisters. We see that Enoch was not, because he walked with God. He was raptured up. He was caught up in there, and God took him to heaven. Elijah was raptured up on a horse, on a chariot. He was raptured up. He was taken up, and he left his mantle for Elijah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see in the Old Testament, there are many examples of the rapture. But some people don't believe in the rapture. They say it's not in the English Bible. Well, the word Bible is not in the English Bible. The word Trinity is not in the English Bible. Hallelujah. But when you read the cycles and the patterns, you're going to see these things are there. Glory be to the Lord. And the word Bible means a collection of books. We know that we have 66 books in the Bible. 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament, written by so many writers over so many time, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So some people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm part of that. Born-again Christians are part of that. Pre-tribulation. That means According to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, we was not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we were not appointed to the wrath of God, then we know that the 7-year tribulation is the wrath of God. So we're going to be out of here before that happens. So we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Some people believe in the mid-tribulation rapture. They believe that, you know, the church will go through some part of the tribulation. And Jesus said it, we will have trials and tribulations in this world. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Glory be to the Lord. And so it is even now. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters are being beheaded. They're being martyred for the cause of Christ throughout the whole world. And some people suffer persecution. So it's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. But there's a difference what's happening now with what's going to happen in the 7-year tribulation. Because what's happening now is Satan-directed, man-directed. But the great tribulation is the wrath of God. It's the anger of God pour out upon the earth and the people. Glory be to the Lord. Some people believe in the post-tribulation rapture, which means that after the rapture, you know, you're going to be caught up and then brought back down like a yo-yo. I don't conscribe to the mid-tribulation or the post-tribulation, because when you look at scriptures, those two parts don't hold water. So I stay with the pre-tribulation rapture because it holds water. It's in the context. And remember, to a real estate agent, location, location, location. To the Bible is context, context, context. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you have any questions, comment, or testimony, please call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Let me give you a little disclaimer and a little bit of itinerary of the church. Disclaimer is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. They do not belong to The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the song and produce songs. Glory be to the Lord. But because we bought the CDs, DVDs, and albums, we have permission in them to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The song that we just heard was Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And that's a beautiful song. It's appropriate for what's happening now. For God, that's a song that we could relate to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we believed because we read, we studied, and because the words of the apostles came down to us. And it's a fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, Jesus' prayer. If you look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17, when Jesus is praying, he's praying for us. He says, Father, I don't only just pray for these, talking about the 12 apostles. He says, but I pray for those who will believe on me through their word. That's us, brothers and sisters. We haven't seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. We know him in the spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The rapture, the gathering of the saints, harpazo, the great assembly, catching up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first verse that we're going to look at comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to be caught up, and we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. You have to be ready right now, because it could happen at any second, at any minute, at any hour, or any day. You have to be ready. You can't get ready. Think about the parable that Jesus gave of the 10 wise virgins. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish virgins didn't have enough oil in their lamps. And the 5 wise virgins, they had oil in their lamps. The Bible says they fell asleep, all of them. And at midnight, when the cry came that the bridegroom was coming, 5 wise virgins got up and they went to the door to meet the bridegroom. The 5 foolish virgins, they didn't have enough oil. They asked the wise virgins to give them some oil. But the wise virgins said no, because it wouldn't be enough for both of them. So they instructed them to go and buy. But who's going to be selling oil at midnight? So the 5 foolish virgins went out to buy oil. But by the time they came back, it was too late. The bridegroom came. The door was open. The 5 wise virgins went in. And then the door was closed. And the 5 foolish virgins wanted the Lord to open the door. But he would not open the door because it was too late. They were not prepared. They didn't have oil. And we know that the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, when you're praying, when you're seeking the Lord, when you're Bible, always ask God to fill you, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Renew every day. Because you never know when the cry of the bridegroom will come. When you read 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 13, down through 18, the Word of God says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself does ascend from heaven with a shout." This could be a lot of noise. "With the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." So we see three sounds: a shout, the voice, and the trump. Glory be to the Lord. You need to be awakened, not physically, but spiritually. You know, so you could hear when the Lord calls us home. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud." That word caught up is translated to the English language, caught up from the Greek word harpazo. Harpazo, caught up, gathered together. But when you look at the Latin Vulgate, it says rapimo, rapture. So, you know, we have to understand what the scripture is saying to us. So we've been caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are the words of God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonian church. This was one of the first writings of Paul. And every chapter of both books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, talks about the coming of the Lord. What's going to happen prior to, during, and after. And when you look at it, prior to the tribulation is the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to glorify God when we see him. But we should be glorifying God right now because of the things that we read in the scriptures and how they apply to us and how we, as a born-again Christian, have these promises rendered unto us from the Lord. Let's read John 14:3, talking about Jesus will meet us in the air. Believers will meet him in the air. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and let's read these, the seven verses all together. The main verse that we're looking at is number 3. Beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, so how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, the question is, where is Jesus Christ right now? When you study the Bible, it says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father on his throne. What is he doing there? The Bible says he's interceding for you and I every day. Interceding. He's praying for us. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. And the Bible says he's coming to seek out a bride who has a dress without a spot or wrinkle. So my brothers and sisters, you want to see God? Be holy. Because he says without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Be holy because he is holy. So we need no spot, no wrinkle on our dress. In our life, we should not be accused of anything. Don't let your goodness be spoken evil of. Don't give in to the temptations of the enemy. Don't compromise with the gospel. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, my brothers and sisters, God will take care of you. But you want to remain sincere, uncompromising to the Lord, because he's the one that has made a way for us to make it into heaven. How did he do that? Well, we know that sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So there was an exchange of positions. Jesus took upon him our sins, paid the ultimate price, the atonement for our sins by shedding his blood on that cross. Just like the Israelites, when they celebrated the Passover in Egypt, they put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their house, and the death angel came and passed over them. That's why it's called Passover. Even unto this day, they celebrate the Passover. Why is this night different than all other nights? That is a question that's answered during the celebration, during the feast time. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood that you and I could make it in. He paid the price, the atonement. He paid the price for our freedoms. We were slaves. We were captivated. We was bondage to sin and death because of that. We were slaves to Satan because of that. But when Jesus Christ came, he set us free. And the Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. So he set us free from the sin and death that was upon us. We are no longer slaves to sin and death and Satan. We give ourselves willingly to God. We serve him willingly because of the gratitude and the appreciation that we have in what Christ has done. Remember, it's what Christ has done. It's not what we have done, what we could do. Yes, we could tell others about the Lord when we get saved, but salvation itself, there's nothing that we could do except accept it by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We can't boast. No one in this world could boast of salvation. No one can say, I earned salvation. We receive it by faith. It's a gift of God because we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. So he saved us. He saved us. He saved us. He took us out of the grip of the enemy. In James, it says that we are to rescue them out of the very fire. And that's what God did. He rescued us from the very fire, the sentence that was upon us. We had a death sentence, but God gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, we evaluate oneself through the scriptures. The Bible does say, examine yourself if you're in the faith. It's not about which denomination you're part of. It's not about what church you belong to. What it is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When you have that personal relationship, do you acknowledge God before men? Or do you submit yourself to the ways of men because of fear? Well, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, sound mind, and power. There's a difference between those who say they're Christians and those that are Christians. Those that are Christians abstain from sin, because sin is what separates us from God. David prayed, my sin is always before me. David remembered the sinful nature that he had, and he confessed it, and he repented of it. That's why God said he was a man after his own heart. David remembered when he killed Uriah. David remembered when he was adulterous with Bathsheba. David remembered when the first baby died. David remembered all that. Because he disobeyed God. He did that which was not right in the eyes of God. He lusted after Bathsheba because he saw her bathing from the rooftop. He looked down. He should have just walked away and not look, and that spirit of lust wouldn't come upon him. But it came upon him. He entertained it. And he was looking for ways how to do his dirty deed and yet have Uriah accepted as his own. If you remember, after he was adulterous with Bathsheba, she told him she was with child. So David contrived a plan to have Uriah go home and be with his wife. But Uriah said, no, my men sleep out with Sire, so that's the way, that's where I should sleep, with them. And David contrived a story, and he wrote a letter to the general in the army, to his leader, who was in the front lines, sent it with Uriah. And in the letter, it said, put Uriah to the front in the hottest battle. And David knew that Uriah will be killed. And that's what happened. Uriah went with the letter. He was put to the front battle. He was killed. And word was sent back to David that Uriah was dead. And when that message came to David, he took Bathsheba as his own. Oh, yeah, she mourned, but he took her as his own. So the first child died because of sin. It was a sin of adultery. Baby died. And David said that he would go where he's at. He cannot come back, but David will go where he's at. Then they got married. Then they had Solomon. And Solomon built the temple of God. But David had a lot of blood in his hands. That's why he couldn't build the temple. So his sin was always before him. So it's something that we have to look in the mirror of God's word and ask ourselves, have I broken one of the Ten Commandments? Have I disobeyed God in any way? And the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory everything you have done that was not correct. He will search the deepest part. In the Psalms, it talks about the Holy Spirit like a light going deep into our soul, searching for things that don't belong there. And he brings it to our memory. And when we recognize it, we should confess it, give it unto God, and ask God to forgive us, and don't do it again. If you was a thief, you don't rob no more. If you was a liar, you don't lie no more. If you was an adulterer, you don't commit adultery no more. If you was a fornicator, you don't fornicate no more. If you was disobedient to your parents, you don't become disobedient to your parents no more. If you have worshiped other gods before God, you put them away. You break them up, throw them out. God is one. He's a spirit. He's the only one that we shall worship. Remember one thing, God is love, but he's also a jealous God. And he's also a God of consuming fire. So don't play around because you think you're going to get away with it. Look, God, a lot of people preach greasy grace. Oh, you could do this and you could do that because God will forgive you. Yes, God will forgive us. But there comes a time when God says enough is enough. So stop playing with the things of God. Stop playing thinking that you're going to get away with it. No, you're not going to get away. When there's a sin, when there's a disobedience, there's a consequence. You know, in the old times, God said that I will visit the sins of the fathers unto the fourth generation. But in the New Testament, everyone, he says, what a man sows, that shall he reap. Everyone has consequences for their soul. So don't play around with the things of God. God is very serious. He wants you to be serious. He wants you to enjoy yourself, be free, celebrate, fast, praise, worship God, but don't compromise with sin. Keep everything holy and righteous before God, and you will see that you would enter into the kingdom of God. If you read Corinthians, if you read Revelations carefully, it talks about those who will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. If you read Galatians chapter 5, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but before that, it talks about the sin the wages of sin, and it talks about what happens when the flesh gets in the way, the sins of the flesh. So stop compromising with the things of God. You know, don't act holy in church, and then when nobody's watching, you want to do your own thing. Don't do that. God, the Holy Spirit, is always watching. He knows it. The Bible says that when we go to heaven, look, we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to answer for every word and deed that we have done after we got saved. People who don't accept Jesus Christ, they have to answer for every word and deed they did in their lifetime. So number one is rejecting Christ. You know, so if you want to go up in the clouds and meet Christ in the air, you have to be holy. So the transformation, the glorification takes place. Your body, which is mortal, will be immortality. He will put on immortality. Your body, which is corrupt, will put on incorruption. And we'll be just like Christ. And we'll see him. And we know who he is because we're going to be just like him. In the clouds, we're going to see him in the rapture. Remember, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together, a parcel, into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, if your friend is a non-believer of the rapture or mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, let them be. Don't argue with them. The word of God is not to argue. The word describes itself and gives the answers right there if people study. You worry about prayer. Pray for your brother and sisters who don't believe the same as you. Pray for them, that God would open up their eyes of understanding, the ears of understanding, their mind of understanding, so they could also accept Christ as the Lord and Savior and be part of the rapture. Remember that Christ is coming. He will not touch the earth with his feet. He's going to be in the air. And the church will be gathered up, will be changed, and will meet him in the air, in the clouds, to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, this is for everyone, whether a person is a Gentile, whether a person is Jewish, whatever they may be, if they believe and they accept, they repent from their sin, they accept Christ as the Lord and Savior, then they become part of the bride of Christ. And in heaven, there's no such thing as denominations. We are all brothers of Christ. He's our elder brother. We are joint heirs with Christ. And the thing that people have all kinds of excuses, but Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. So people that have excuses, you know, they have different words, but no matter what, you have to understand what we have in our hands right now, the Bibles that we carry, is a carbon copy of the original one in heaven. And that's the one that's going to be opened up in the day that people have to give it account. There are so many versions out there. They change the word of God. There's so many versions that take away the word of God. And some versions add things to the word of God. But no matter what happens, the word of God remains forever in heaven. Remember Moses when he was going to build the tabernacle, when he was going to do the Ten Commandments? He was shown, it says, patterns on the things in heaven. Moses copied the patterns that he saw in heaven. So what Moses gave the people that God gave him was a copy of the original one. So, you know, we know that in these days in America, many of the government officials have taken down the Ten Commandments. It don't matter. Let them take them down. But they remain forever in heaven. They remain forever in our hearts. Let me just share something that I saw yesterday in the news, and that is our DNA. You know, in our DNA, you have little bridges from one to the other like that. So this is a sequence of numbers, 10, 5, 6, and 5. And when you look at those sequence of numbers, and you look at the numbers, and you look at the Jewish alphabet, it spells the tetragram, Yahweh Vav Hey, the tetragram, the name of God. So in our DNA, we have the tetragram. We have the name of God already written there. You know, God said he will put his name in the city of Jerusalem, and he did. Because when you look at the three valleys and you look at it from on Saturday, it looks like a W. It looks, and that's the letter Sheen. The name of God, Hashem, tetragram, Yahweh Vav Hey. Don't make a mistake and think that you're going to get away with it. Our escape is only in Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that in this second part, part 1A2, talking about the rapture, talking about the saints, the gathering of the saints, will go to the heavens, will go to the clouds and meet Christ there. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Forever to be with the Lord. Next Thursday, in a continued study, 1A3. The rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. From 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. We read that today. We're going to read it again. And then we're going to read Matthew 24 because it talks about the tribulation. And we're going to talk, we're also going to read Zechariah because it talks about the tribulation. We have to be prepared, my brothers and sisters, because we don't know the hour, we don't know the date, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. But we want to be like the five wise virgins. We want to have oil in our lamps, be ready, be dressed. So when the call is made, we can respond appropriately. We don't have to wait around to get ready. We are ready. And remember, always pray that you be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. And always do the work of the evangelists. Reach out to others so they too could come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible talks about in the last day there'll be scoffers. Because they say that from the long time, things remain the same. You know, that people talk about the coming of the Lord, but he hasn't come. Well, let them scoff. Let them do what they're going to do. You remain faithful. You remain holy. And you remain doing the work of the evangelist. You'll be telling others of God's love. So they too could know God. But the scoffers will talk and talk and talk and They'll laugh at you. But you know what's going to happen? Is that when we disappear, just like the time of Noah, people were knocking on the boat. They wanted to get in, but it was too late because the rains came and took them all away. And that's what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. Where the rapture is going to take place and 7-year tribulation will start. People will die for the cause, you know, for whatever cause that they choose. If they choose to be a follower of Christ, they're going to lose their head because they're going to be beheaded. Some people will just rebel and they'll die because of their rebellion. But unfortunately, they'll be part of the second resurrection, the death, the judgment, the great white throne judgment. And you don't want to be part of the great white throne judgment, because at that judgment, people have to give an account for every word and every action that they had taken. The first one being they rejected God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We know that the phones are open. You should be calling your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak to be connected to the studio. If you want to send an email to the church, to the Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle, you want to write WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. And you will get an answer from that email. If you want to speak to the pastor after the program is over or anytime, just you could call 772-626-3178. That's the cell for the pastor, Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. Glory be to the Lord. And we could continue the conversation. But I will not engage in arguing the word of God. I will share with you what the word of God says. And it's up to us to read it and ask God for understanding and ask God for clarity so that we may know what the word of God says. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember, we read 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and the Gospel of John 14:3 for today's study. Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air. So, you know, we have several things that are shown in the scriptures regarding the rapture. The next one we're going to talk about is the rapture is before the 7-year tribulation. Remember, the second coming is divided into two phases. Phase number 1 is the rapture. Phase number 2 is the return. We're dealing with the rapture, first of all. We spoke a little bit about the rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven last week. This week we spoke about Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air. That's this week. Next week, the rapture is before the 7-year tribulation. The week after that, Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead. The week after that, the rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken out of the earth. And the last one, the rapture will cause the great tribulation to begin. And we're going to talk about these things individually because it's very important that you look at the scriptures, analyze what they say, and give it unto the Lord so he could give you a clear understanding of what the scripture says so you could be ready and be prepared for that call that is coming to let us know that the bridegroom has come for her bride, for his bride. We are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And our garments will be spotless and no wrinkle. We must live holy and righteous before him. And God forbid that anyone under the sound of our voice that has heard the truth turn away from the truth. Because the Bible says that in the last days of people whose heart will be hardened because they did not believe the truth. You know, we don't want that to happen. We want everyone, like God, whose long suffering is so that man could be saved and repent and come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves everyone. He loves you. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what compromise you have, it just takes a second for you to turn around and God to restore you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we're going to close out the program. We want to thank the Lord for the opportunity that we had today. And we ask you for continue to study. Today is Thursday. Sunday at 7 o'clock, we'll be here with the Bible mystery. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this Sunday, which we're going to, the Bible mystery is, we've been dealing with the names and titles of God. This Sunday is going to be Yahweh. You know, what does Yahweh mean? Where in the Bible could we find Yahweh? And why was God called Yahweh? Those are the three things that we're just looking into. I'm only looking for the first one, which is what does Yahweh means? And when you call and you get the correct answer, the church will mail you out for if this is your first time. The church will mail you out a beautiful accordion-style colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns that point to Jesus, symbolism that point to Jesus, the clothes of the high priest, the different instruments that are there. And I recommend you put it into the Bible. So if you go to an appointment and you're waiting to recall, you could take it out and study it. Now, remember, the tabernacle is also known as the tabernacle of the congregation. It's also known as a tent of meetings. It's a portable tent. When the cloud by day moved, they would take it down and they follow the cloud. When the cloud will stop, they will stop and rebuild the tent and continue the services. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If this is your second or third time, call it in. You'll get a beautiful display of the Our Father prayer in color and the scripture so you could understand the Our Father prayer a little bit deeper. So we want to thank the Lord for this opportunity, and we're going to see you on Sunday at 7 o'clock. Invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio to call 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.